calling this meeting of the Legislative Council. Yes, brief at ease.
Do you allow the House members to wear hats in your finance meeting room? Huh? Hey, at least you got something up there to comb.
Call the meeting of the Legislative Council to order. Today is Tuesday, October 5th, and it's 11:05 a.m. Ms. Kiesel, can you call the roll, please?
Representative Clayman. Representative Edgman.
You know, we're just barely hearing you, so I'm not sure. We're going to up your mic over here, I think. Go ahead.
Representative Clayman.
Here.
Representative Edgman.
Here.
Representative Foster.
Here.
Speaker Stutes.
Here.
Representative Tilton.
Here.
Representative Tuck. Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senator Machicki. Senator Hoffman. Senator Hughes. Senator Schauer. Senator Stedman.
Here.
Senator Stevens.
Here.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Here.
Chair Hannon.
Here.
10 members present.
With 10 members present, we do have a quorum to conduct business. Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion for approval of the agenda?
Madam Chair, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council approve the agenda as presented.
Hearing and seeing no objections, the agenda is approved. That brings us to our first action, our next action item. Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion on a charitable event?
Madam Chair, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council ratify the Chair's sanctioning of the following charitable events per AS24.60.080A2D, Junior Achievement of Alaska Business Hall of Fame event Thursday, January 20th, 2022 at the Denina Center in Anchorage.
I'm going to object for the purposes of discussion. I have already sanctioned this Junior Achievement event, and after verifying that it is a 501c3 organization. Are there any questions or discussion about that event before we ratify? Seeing and hearing none, I will remove my objection, and that means that sanctioning of that event has been ratified by the committee. That brings us to our next action item of committee business. Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion for us?
I move that the Legislative Council adopt the COVID-19 mitigation policy as amended.
And we do have, let me make sure and note that we have copies of the current policy. We're handed out and put on the desk this morning. We have a couple of options before us. Executive Director of Legislative Affairs, Ms. Geary, is at the table and will walk us through proposed changes to COVID-19 policy and take questions. Ms. Geary, go ahead.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Council. For the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director, Legislative Affairs. And as the Chair mentioned before you, we provided a couple different options for changes to the existing mitigation policy. A couple of the changes that we made were just a little bit of changes to the mask section to make those requirements a little clearer as to what's allowed and what's not allowed. I think to go into it, there was some confusion about the inclusion of N95 masks being added as not allowable, but the intent was if it had an exhalation valve, so I changed that to make that a little bit clearer. But the real substantive changes to the policy are under Section 3, cycle testing and screening. And the reason there are two options laid out is because with the status of the fourth special session, it's hard to know how the session is going to proceed, if it's going to be 30 days with legislators all here, if it's going to be a little bit of a mixture. And so we wanted to offer some flexibility to have testing available, have a contractor on site to offer that testing, but I think the way the policy is written, and you'll have to excuse me, I've been through a lot of iterations of this, so I'm trying to not get bogged down too much, but I think just to kind of backtrack, I'll start with when we first started looking into seeing if there were testing available for the session, we reached out to Beacon as our previous COVID mitigation contractor that they were very successful and great to work with. And they mentioned that there was an existing contract with the state of Alaska, which covered all state of Alaska facilities. So we started entertaining what that might look like to be added to that existing contract. And it was pretty simple, but it doesn't offer all of the services that we had for the regular session. So it is basically staff time and testing. And so we can have testing available. What we don't have is a method for having screeners at the door, verifying test results, those types of things. So I think one of the things that we really struggled with last session was we had so many staff there that were verifying testing, making sure people were in the cycle. That was a lot of staff time and a lot of cost. And so what would the testing strategy look like if we didn't have those screeners there? And so I think really trying to lay out the two options, they're basically both requiring testing. One of them we can do with the existing contract without any additional cost. The other one we would have to hire and have a separate contract for screeners and clearance cards and that type of thing. So it's really a policy decision what this committee wants to do. And we do have some funds available on our contract from January that we could that this committee could authorize. So I think I'll maybe stop rambling and take a moment to ask if anyone has questions. So I'm sure you do.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your giving us options here. Which of the two contracts, if we just look at the money, it's money alone, nothing else, which of the two contracts does not lead to additional costs?
Which
of the two options, I'm sorry.
Option one is no additional cost.
Madam Chair, I have some questions.
Okay, so Senator Reinbold, I'm going to take Representative Tilton and then you. So, okay. Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So our current policy right now is based on a personal awareness, and if you have COVID symptoms, that you're being personally responsible.
That's correct.
Which is the option that I prefer, is the current option. But the options that are laying here before us, option one is would deal with the existing contract that you have in place. My question on that is, first, to just backing up to the face mask and covering, and I don't think that there is actually a technical change in this, but my question on that is that when the masking policy was created during the last meeting, we had talked about it being in conjunction with the city in which that meeting was held in, so the Capitol was kind of following the regulations that were going along with what was happening in the city of Juneau. The other areas outside where there are LIOs, those cities don't have masking mandates or things like that, but we're still asking them to require masking in those LIOs. So that was just something I wanted to bring to the attention of the council, because if we're honoring the requests of those cities, it seems like we should honor that all around in every city where we have an LIO. That was one point. The second thing I was going to ask is on the cycle and testing screening, the legislator and legislative staff must participate in the screening. What does individuals must be tested at least every 4 days? And can you help me to define what that means?
Absolutely. Through the chair, Representative Tilton. So legislators and legislative staff and individuals extends to other people that are visiting I'm getting mixed up. Individuals means those that are required to participate in cycle testing. So it's just a continuation of that. So legislators, legislative staff, and those individuals must be tested at least every 4 days to maintain access to the Capitol complex.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
So that those individuals are legislators and legislative staff.
Correct.
Is what the individuals stands for. So we're not asking for testing from people from the public who are coming into the building.
I think that is a policy decision. Who testing should be extended to. But as this policy is written, it does not require that, though it does require that visitors are included in those that must self-screen for symptoms and not enter if they have COVID symptoms.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
And then in your option two, just to bring this to everyone's attention, in option two, it does limit the access, which we had that at the beginning of session, there was limited access into the building to just those screening places. So in option one, there would not be the limited access to screening places. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Tilton, that is correct. Option one could be viewed as more of an honor system policy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, I appreciate it.
All right, Senator Reinbold.
Okay, so I'm going to follow up on several of the questions. First of all, under number four, it says that legislators and legislative staff, this is on page two, must isolate as directed by health authorities. I want to know who the health authorities are and what in particular are you directing here with isolate.
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, that language did not, that part of the language didn't really change. What it's saying is if you test positive and public health identifies you, then you're expected to quarantine as directed by public health.
Okay, so is there a specific isolation, a specific authority, or a specific layout in regards to contact tracing and quarantine? Because the word isolate and quarantine is both in here, and it's kind of important, you know, that people understand who, because there's a vast majority of health authorities and on several different levels. So I think it's very important to know exactly what your expectations are here. Ms. Geary, are you going to answer?
She's rereading Senator Reinbold tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Apologies, Senator Reinbold. This is Jessica. The intent is the health authorities that are with the state or the municipality, public health, whoever is conducting contact tracing for that particular state. There would be no contact tracing or anything as part of this contract that's being considered.
Okay.
So it would not be like last session where we have contractors that are doing contact tracing and quarantine services. Does that answer your question?
So basically it's on the honor system, it sounds like.
It's, yes, in a sense, but I think if anyone, and I've been fortunate enough to not test positive so far with COVID, but it's my understanding that if you test positive, public health contacts you and lets you know that you are supposed to be quarantining for whatever that period of time is, so.
Okay, so through the chair, I have a few more questions.
Go ahead.
So, Ms. Geary, do you know if the PCR tests are they still under emergency use authorization, or do you know if they've actually been FDA approved yet?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, I do not have that information.
Okay, so to the best of my ability through the chair, they are still under emergency use only and cannot be mandated. And I will just put on the record that I will be voting no in regards to this, because I not only think this is illegal, but I think it's unconstitutional in regards to mandating something that is under emergency use. And also, we're an opt-in, not an opt-out state, and I don't want to be, you know, pushed to do things that I fundamentally disagree with, and I don't know who the provider is going to be and exactly what is required. I'm a huge believer in the ability to direct one's own health care. I definitely agree with pre-screening, if people should be staying home, especially during this time when they are sick. And with that, I just will put on the record that if there's anything in regards to a contract with Deakin, I have not seen that yet, and I would definitely like to know everything there is to know about that contract. But I believe as legislators, more than anybody, we should be able to direct our own health care. We are constitutionally required to be at the Capitol, and I don't want to be put in a box where I'm not allowed to represent people if I don't follow something, you know, such as encycling testing every 4 days to access the Capitol. I think this is about the most unconstitutional thing I've ever seen.
Do you have follow-up questions, Senator Reinbold?
I stated my point.
Okay, thank you. Are there other let me just clarify for the record, we had Representative Tuck join us at 11:05 and Senator Machicki at 11:13.
Madam Chair, it's Representative Klayman. I do have a couple of questions.
Go ahead.
Ms. Geary, I just want to make sure I understand the four-day testing requirement. So I was in Juneau yesterday and then took the plane back to Anchorage last night. Would the under policy number option one, would I have been expected to test on Monday upon arrival in Juneau? I would get tested before coming in the Capitol, or get tested and wait and proceed until I heard the result. And then if I didn't get back to Juneau, say, until next week, would I need to be testing during the rest of the week or only get another test before I return to Juneau?
Through the chair, Representative Klayman, that's a great question. And there will be many legislators in different circumstances that involve travel. I think it's the current advice that if you travel, you get tested. It is my expectation that this policy provides for one initial PCR lab-based test and then a follow-up test at least every 4 days, which will be an antigen rapid test, so results within 30 minutes.
Follow-up?
So just follow-up and for clarification, are these about access to the Capitol complex as opposed to LIOs in other parts of the state?
Through the chair, Representative Klayman, that's correct. This is specific to the Capitol complex.
And would I, if I didn't expect to be back to the Capitol complex in that four-day period, but say came back after 10 days, I take it I would get the initial test and then I'd need to get tested before I return to the Capitol after 10 days, but I wouldn't need to test in the interim if I wasn't coming to the Capitol?
Through the chair, Representative Klayman, that is correct.
And one last follow-up question for clarification. So effectively, the policy we're talking about adopting only applies to the Capitol complex and other LIOs, Anchorage, the Mat-Su Valley, Nome, Kodiak, anywhere else. That policy doesn't, this policy, if we adopt it, would not apply to those locations.
Representative Klayman, that is correct. We don't have the testing resources in those other facilities. If this committee wanted to make testing available in other communities, I can certainly check into that.
And I guess my last question is, where would the testing take place in Juneau? Is that going to be in the Capitol like earlier when we were going to room 17, or is it going to be across the street in the Assembly Building?
It is across the street in the Assembly Building.
Okay. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Let me just check in with the other members online to see if you had any questions.
Yeah, this is Representative Tuck. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Tuck, go ahead.
I think Ms. Geary kind of answered it. So we'll be handling the Capitol complex differently from LIOs, and I know the intent of a resolution that the House has passed that the Senate's still considering is to be able to have committee meetings at the Anchorage LIO and have public participation. So is there any concerns, Anchorage versus Juneau, of any COVID outbreak, or is it just a concern for Juneau right now?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, it's my understanding that statewide there is a concern for COVID. This policy only contemplates the Capitol complex. If it's the intent of the legislature to have meetings in Anchorage, then that might be something that this committee wants me to investigate, having testing available at the Anchorage LIO. Did that answer your question, Representative Tuck?
Yeah, I think that does answer the question, is that right now we're just talking about Juneau. And right now we're not taking any consideration of any of the other public meetings that we may be having outside of Juneau.
Correct. Representative Tuck, this is Chair Hannon. It was at my direction that Ms. Geary was asked to look into the possibilities of expanding our mitigation policies in the wake of a fourth special session in the Capitol complex. I did not ask her to look at trying to institute COVID mitigation policies stronger than masking and self-screening at any other LIOs or locations across the state. And sort of the impetus was a gathering of 60 of us coming together from a variety of points of Alaska, concentrated together. So that's where the two options came out of what to do for this complex during this special session. But it would retain the face covering and masking and self-screening of COVID symptoms in all locations. Any further questions, Representative Tuck?
Thank you, Madam Chair. No further questions at this time.
And I will also note that we've been joined by Senator Schauer at 11:25.
Chair Hannon, I do have another comment.
Senator Reinbold, go ahead.
So I just want to make sure that I understand this clearly. There's option one, obviously, and option two. Under the cycle testing and screening, it looks like in both options to access the Capitol, we must, legislators and legislator staff must participate in order to access. However, the public is not. That's my first question. Is that true?
Correct. No, I'm getting the hedge.
So just to clarify, I want to make sure I understand this, that legislators or their staff cannot have access to the Capitol unless they use this non-FDA approved test. So literally, we're blocking legislators and their staff from their fiduciary responsibility. And we're making the CDC guidance mandatory for isolation and contract tracing, and the federal law says that, that the EUA, things under EUA cannot be mandated. State law says we're opt-in, and the Constitution requires us to be in the Capitol. So, like I said, I think this is the most unconstitutional policy that I've ever seen, and I will be an absolute passionate no.
Anyone else?
Madam
on?
Chair?
Yes, is that Senator Schauer?
No, it's Michiki.
Senator Michiki, please go ahead.
Just tell me, and I was late, so I have three pieces of paper in front of me. One is the amended October 4th mitigation policy, and then there are the two options. Can you just tell me about the mitigation policy that expands the types of masks that can be used that I have in front of me?
Ms. Geary.
Through the chair, Senator Michiki, we added in, under approved face shields, we added with a droplet barrier, we added approved clear mask, we added gaiters made of tightly woven material of multiple layers, and we added scarves to the list of unacceptable, and we got rid of N95 masks from the list of unacceptable face coverings.
Madam Chair, if I can, and I'm sorry, Jessica, I can read that. the question is, how does that interact with option one and two? Are those sections included in one and two, or is that a separate section? Is that a separate document, and it may or may not be what we're discussing right now?
Through the chair, Senator Michiki, my apologies. In both option one and two, the face coverings and masks sections are identical. The only real substantive changes are in section three under cycle testing and screening. We also added in a risk level notification requirement, which basically states that my office will notify legislators and staff of whatever protocols are going on at that particular facility. So that's really the only difference. And then
okay.
Option one is more of an honor system policy. Option two has some requirements for verification of negative COVID test.
Thank you. And then I have a couple of questions. Option one does not include those individuals who have regular business in the Capitol either. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then a follow-up. This is for legislators as well, because I might suggest something. What we found before was that when we did the every 3 or 4 days, and I think we went to 5 days, we had some compliance, additional compliance issues. When we went to once weekly, so think about how we many operate in the Capitol. A lot arrive on a Monday. Those that are lucky enough to live within one flight of home sometimes go home on weekends. When we switched to the kind of once weekly, sort of the Monday morning thing, it seemed to work, and the change in the protection in the building was really negligible. So you had people testing, you know, typically on a Monday, and then they might not test till the following Monday, or they might arrive Sunday and test and then not retest till the following Sunday. Is that something that folks might be willing to consider? And that's for Chair Hannon. And my reason for bringing that up is it just sort of the ease in application. People can kind of plan. The 4 day might fall on whenever the day is. The once weekly was much easier for many of us to schedule and keep track of.
Senator, I am not sure that I can adequately address that. I guess I'm not sure if you heard a question, I believe, from Representative Klayman about leaving town and not testing till it came back. So if you weren't entering the Capitol complex, you know, so if you were arriving on a Monday, leaving on a Friday, re-entering the following Monday, then de facto it would be testing once a week. And since it would be the honor system under option one, when you walk through the door, that you are currently on current cycle testing and compliant with it, there would be no one noting that you're a day behind or 3 days behind. But I believe there is a definition of cycle testing that led us to that 4 day option. So I'm gonna ask Ms. Geary if she recollects when the cycle testing timeline was discussed, whether I'm accurately representing that.
Chair Hannon, you are correct. We had initially had a every 3 day cycle testing, then we went to every 4 day. And so I think 4 days, to have a really robust testing program, there has to be repetition of tests. So I think the best way to capture positive cases is to do the every 4 days. But that's more feasible if everyone is in Juneau as what would happen during the regular session, not this special session that could be a whole host of different circumstances for different members.
Okay, that's all the questions that I have at this time. Thank you. So we're discussing option one. I'm sorry again for being late.
No problem, Senator. Glad to have you with us.
Okay, thank
you. And we have not had a motion on one option over the other. We are discussing both options at this point. Senator Stevens.
Thank you. And so, Madam Chair, we're talking about a mitigation policy that continues not just for the special session, but for the next regular session in January. Does the existing contract that the state has with Beacon continue into next year as well?
Through the Chair, Senator Stevens, they are working on extending it right now. I believe it ends in March of 2022, somewhere thereabouts, but they are working on extending that out right now. And I think with the way this policy is currently written, there, as you brought up, there's no real expiration date, so it would be up to this committee to decide how long this policy will remain in effect.
Bob, go ahead, sir.
Thank you, I appreciate that answer. Then the final question, Madam Chair, do you have, as Chair, do you have a recommendation on option one or option two?
Thank you, Senator Stevens. So, so at the bigger issue, when Ms. Geary was directed to pursue this, my understanding was the policy exists until we amend it again, but that we were not trying to anticipate all the needs we would have for regular sessions starting in January. And so looking at what we do for special session only, but knowing that that's sort of our baseline of mitigation until we amend it greater. I would say I'm of two minds and seeking guidance from the committee. Option one has a very low fiscal cost to us, and is reliant on members to follow the policy and asking that they do, and that, you know, they've self-screened on a daily basis, they are participating in cycle testing, but there is no verification for that. Option two, we add verification and screening. That comes with a cost, because to be able to do that, we also need to implement the rapid testing on site. I tested yesterday at the assembly building. Those test results are not available till 24 hours later. So I think depending on what we think of the traffic flow of the building going to be during the special session sort of guides those. And yesterday I anticipated we're going to have sort of low traffic activity coming in and out of the Capitol, but really some of you are in a better position to anticipate that. So I think option one serves us in a low traffic environment, but if we have 60 of us concentrated here for 10 days in a row coming from high transmission communities, option two is the most health protective. But there is a substantial cost to it.
So Madam Chair, if I could
go ahead.
I do think it's important that we know what the chair, since you've spent more time with it than we have and what your recommendation is, but that makes sense to me that we use option one through this special session and that we revisit it at a later date to see what's needed in a regular session. So I appreciate your comments, and I think I support option one.
And was that Senator Reinbold seeking the floor?
Yes, and before we go any further, I let my leadership know that I could not make this motion, and now that President McChickie is here, I am going to go ahead and withdraw this motion to move this policy based on the illegality of it and the unconstitutional. I told him I could not do this.
Did she restate that, Madam Chair? I didn't. She was breaking up.
Senator Reinbold, if we have a request for you to restate what you've just said.
Yes. I notified our leadership, President McChickie, that I could not make this motion because he was not here at the beginning of the meeting. I went ahead and made this motion. However, I am now withdrawing this motion to move this COVID mitigation policy as stated because I do believe it's illegal both federally, state, and unconstitutional. So if you'd like someone else to move this motion, please have them do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Reinbold. Representative Stutes.
I move that legislative council adopt the COVID-19 mitigation policy option number one.
All right.
Okay. I object.
Okay, so we have objection. Do you want to speak to your objection, Representative Tilton?
I think I previously, when I was talking with Ms. Geary about the policy, I think I previously indicated that for two reasons, I believe in the masking policy should be considerate based on what is in the LAOs of what the policy is of that community, and I also am a firm believer in the personal responsibility that we have already in our current COVID policy. So.
Senator Reinbold, did you want to speak to your objection?
I've made it very clear. I do believe this is that this PCR test cannot be mandated. It's under emergency use, to the best of my knowledge, cannot be mandated. That's why I believe it violates federal law. We are an opt-in, not an opt-out state. I have my own healthcare providers both in Juneau and Anchorage and Eagle River, and I personally want to have them be taking care of me, not a policy that has not been justified in my mind. And also that I have a constitutional responsibility to vote in the Capitol, and I don't want me nor my staff barred based on what I believe is an illegitimate, illegal, unconstitutional action, so I will be a no vote.
Other members of the committee, did you have anything to add?
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Okay. I couldn't tell if that was Senator Schauer or Representative Tuck.
I was going to yield to you, Senator Schauer, since you haven't got a chance to speak, and then I'll have a question following.
Okay. Senator Schauer, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to add for the record on the discussion. I apologize for being late. It's very early in the morning where I am on the planet right now. I requested yesterday from a health official, long-serving health official in Alaska, some information on the latest data, and I can already see where the kind of where we're headed with this. So I understand that's going to take place regardless of what is said, but I want to get it on the record. He gave me information for the latest numbers and where things sit, and it's important, I think, for the narrative because many people are still getting information and we're basing decisions on that. And it's very clear from the most recent data and trends that the Delta variant is kind of starting to peter off. And it was crystal clear that those numbers are dropping. When you look at the legislature, you know, almost all of us are now have taken the shots and staff. So the vaccination rate, of course, in Juneau is the highest in the state, I believe, as I saw the last numbers. And it's most of the community have either had COVID with the very strong natural immunity, stronger in fact, or they've taken the shots. So when you look at that, and I believe he said the data yesterday was there's only five ICU beds and or five patients, I believe, in the hospital in Juneau, and what we're seeing with the other numbers to include if you were even to look in Anchorage where they're doing elective surgeries, so the data that says that we're stressing our healthcare system doesn't seem to bear out to me. And so I understand the desire of some with people traveling to wish to have a policy for those that are coming into Juneau. But I want it noted on the record that when you see the trend of where things are currently going, and the fact that our healthcare system, when it comes to COVID, is not as stressed as some might be making it seem from this health official that briefed me the latest numbers yesterday, I don't think we need to do this, and I certainly would support the lowest cost option if we're going that way anyways. But I think just the masking policy and people self-testing is enough for where we are. I don't think we need to take a step backwards with where the data supports yesterday. So while nobody else got the briefing, I just appreciate the chance to put that on the record, but I don't think it's necessary at this time, but I defer to the council. Thank you.
Thank you. And Senator Schauer, I will ask, since you've asked to enter on the record, if you will share in writing formally that guidance and numbers data that you received, and perhaps include the name of the health expert that provided that.
I will forward that to Jessica, or who would you like me to forward that to?
If you forward that to Jessica and myself, we'll make sure we can share that with the committee. I will also note.
I will get that data as soon as I can.
And I will also note, just since you referenced the community of Juneau's vaccination rate, this policy would not apply to the community, but only to the people who are entering the building, legislators and their staff. So it's my viewpoint that although the community data of vaccination would be relevant if we were applying it to everyone who enters the building, we're not. So the fact that we have people coming from 60 different locations means we need to include the data of each of the locations they're coming from for us to accurately reflect the risk factors for those individuals entering the building.
And Madam Chair, I will get that data to you. Thank you. I'm only pointing it out. Like I said, I'm not necessarily trying to sway the discussion for it. I just wanted those numbers entered on the record so that there was a broader base of information perhaps available for people to consider. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Other members of the committee?
Senator Madam Chair?
Oh, right, sorry, Representative Tuck, I promised you would come back to you, please.
No problem, thank you, Madam Chair. Have we been keeping track of how many visitors are entering the Capitol per day over since opening the Capitol up to the public?
Ms. Geary?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, we do not keep track of every visitor that enters the Capitol. We did have a tour guide program through the summer, which is now ended. We do have numbers for how many tourists went on guided tours. We do not know how many might have perhaps wandered the halls of the Capitol.
And was there any type of testing requirements for them to visit the Capitol?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, there's no requirement aside from them wearing a mask and hopefully staying 6 feet away from any legislators or staff who are in the building to work.
Okay, just a quick comment, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
You know, if we're going to be testing and limiting public access to those that are being tested, then I think we should reevaluate wearing masks in the building if we are making it so that we're in a cycle and we have adequate testing. I know that was a big topic of discussion for a long time during session, is whether we needed to have the plastic guards up and have the mask on, especially when we're on the floor. And right now, there is no closure to the building that I can identify. And wearing masks is appropriate if you're going to leave the Capitol open. So I guess this is where the policy call comes. On one hand, I don't want to close off the Capitol to the public. And however, if we are going to close off the Capitol to the public, and we're going to allow legislators to be on a cycle testing, then I think we need to reevaluate the masking policy while we're in that Capitol, if that's what we're trying to do is isolate ourselves. So I have two proposals in front of me And I don't know which one's labeled one and two, but I can see that the second paragraph is the one on under cycle testing and screening. The second paragraph's a little bit different. Can you identify which one we're considering right now for me so I can follow along?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, if I may address one of the statements that you made. To answer your first question, we're discussing option one at this particular moment. There is no prohibition on visitors in the Capitol. Because we are using the existing state contract, that didn't extend to testing all visitors to the Capitol complex. So it covers legislators and legislative staff. Visitors are expected to self-screen for symptoms. The reason option two includes individuals that are not legislators or legislative staff is because option two contemplates us having a separate contract with Beacon directly. Does that answer your question?
Yes, I understand that, but can you please identify which document is option one and option two? I'm sorry, when I got the printouts laid out, there's no title at the top of them that says option one, option two. All I see is a difference underneath cycle testing and screening of section three. And I see one that says, the second paragraph, individuals must be tested at least every 4 days to maintain access to the Capitol complex. And then I see the other one that says, proof of a negative test administered within the required minimum frequency must be shown upon request. So I'm trying to figure out which one's the one and two that we're considering.
Representative Tuck, option one was the first one you read, where the first paragraph is one sentence, the second paragraph is one sentence under bullet point three.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that.
You bet. And that is the motion before the committee is to adopt option one as our mitigation policy.
And if I may make another comment, Madam Chair, is I almost think that we're a little bit premature on trying to come up with a decision at this moment due to the fact that we don't know, moving after Friday, we don't know how often we're going to be in the Capitol versus holding committee hearings elsewhere. So I think I know that we're trying to come up with something as this fourth session got started, but then we also have a new resolution out there that is lightening the load, if you will, of the Capitol entrances and exits. So I think we're just a little bit premature in considering any of these options at this time until we know what happens Friday. I mean, if anything, we can put something temporarily for, since both the House and Senate are convening on Friday, come up with something temporarily until we figure out what we're doing from here on out.
Other members of the committee, did you have any follow-up, Representative Tuck? All right, so we're back to the motion before us is to adopt mitigation policy option one. Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that there is some misunderstanding in option number one, and it was the question I asked in the beginning because it's two different paragraphs where legislators and legislative staff must participate in cycle testing for COVID-19 to access the Capitol and or other buildings in the Capitol complex. And then there goes to a second paragraph which says individuals must be tested at least every 4 days to maintain access to the Capitol complex. And that does make it appear that you're asking individuals coming in, even though it says in the next paragraph that visitors, legislators, and staff must self-screen. Possibly that paragraph needs to go together and say those individuals must be tested every 4 days. For clarity.
So between, would you like to propose, would you like to make that in the form of a motion to amend?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For clarity, I would propose that under paragraph three, cycle testing and screening, that it at the end of paragraph one, it would say those and bring individuals up after that in the second paragraph.
Thank you. Any objection to that motion?
Madam Chair, I did not understand that. If Representative Tilton could repeat that, please.
Senator Michicki, I'm going to repeat it, which would be to at the end of the first sentence under bullet point three, add a word, those, and add the rest of the sentence that is currently a separate paragraph. So it would then say, those individuals must be tested every 4 days, dot, dot, dot. So that it would clarify.
Can I get a clarifying question?
So we are attempting to clarify that the people who would be testing would be the legislators and legislative staff that are the lead pronoun or lead noun in that first sentence.
Okay.
Senator Schauer, you had a clarifying question?
I do. Just to be clear, does that affect the status of the Capitol being open to the public to be able to come inside of their buildings? I just want to make sure that that does not affect that from the previous discussion I was listening to.
Correct. This is Representative Tilton has pointed out and asked to clarify to make sure that this policy would be of cycle testing is only to legislators and legislative staff.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative Tuck again.
Go ahead, Representative Tuck.
So the general public would not have to test or self-test. All they have to do is just self-screen. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I don't know. It just seems to me that if we're going to, I don't know, what's more dangerous, visitors or legislators and staff? I have no idea. I think that legislators and staff have a responsibility to one another more than anyone just walking in off the street coming into the Capitol building. I don't know why we would impose such restrictions on ourselves when we have work to do, but not necessarily put the same restrictions on the general public. It just seems odd to me. And again, I think this is a little bit premature because we don't know how much activity we're going to have in the Capitol after Friday, until Friday. So, I mean, I would like to make a motion to table this until Friday, October 8th.
So, Representative Tuck, I'm going to rule your request to table. I've got an motion to amend by adding the word those, and I'd like to resolve that before we take up a motion to table.
Sure, I think the
motion
to table takes precedence. It has absolutely no discussion, and we need to vote on that motion.
Okay, thank you for that reminder. All right, we have a motion to table the mitigation policy until Friday. Ms. Kiesel, will you call the roll?
Representative Clayman.
No.
Representative Edgman.
No.
I'm sorry, was that no?
It was a negative.
Yes, thank you. Representative Foster.
No.
Speaker Stoops.
No.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
No.
Senator Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Schauer.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
No.
Senator Stevens.
No.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
No.
Eight no's, five yes.
The motion has not been tabled. That brings us back to the motion to amend, which was to add the word those. Is there any objection to that motion? Or hearing and seeing none, we've adopted the motion to add the word those. That brings us back to the main motion of the policy of option one before us. I'm going to just say, as chair, I appreciate the fortitude of all of the members of the committee to go back and forth on scheduling, and because of that, I would assert that this is not premature, and to have a policy in place that we can act and plan around is beneficial to all of our staff and the legislators coming and going. By adopting option one, if we do that, we are continuing to use an existing state contract, and if on Friday we needed to amend because of actions or end the policy because we were no longer going to be in session, it gives us that flexibility with no additional cost to us. If we find that we are going to be concentrated here for 30 days and decide that we needed to increase tighter mitigations, we can always return to being a council and do that. But I think at this point, option one gives us the most flexibility with the lowest overhead costs and allows us to proceed until we feel like we need to either loosen up or tighten up. And I will recommend a yes vote on the motion to adopt option one. Representative Edgman.
And then one additional comment,
okay.
Madam Chair.
Just Representative Edgman, then we'll come to Representative Tuck.
Well, I have to say that I think Representative Tuck's comments had merit. And, you know, certainly the motion to table, I might have been able to support that. We didn't have a discussion to sort of flesh it out. But on the other hand, in terms of being consistent with how I voted in the past and the actions that this council has taken, I think if there's deference that should be given at this point, it probably should be given to having more protections in place than less at this point. And so with that in mind, I will support option number one, but I'd like to keep a close eye going forward if in fact, as others have spoken today about things sort of loosening up a little bit, which I think that's the point, depending on who you talk to about hospital capacity and so forth. But I'll support option one, but I'd like to keep a close eye on things in terms of the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'll also vote to support option one. I just think it's it just doesn't make sense to me why we would, unless it's a cost thing and a money thing, why we wouldn't test the general public coming in the building if we're concerned about spread of COVID. It just seems irrational to me to only do one sector of people entering the building and not all sectors. But if that's, I don't know if it's a cost factor or what. I mean, I'd almost rather test the public and then have legislators test when they enter in the airport or come in with a negative test. It just doesn't seem rational to me to do one section or the other. But as far as a step towards protection, I'll support this proposal.
Thank you. Representative Tuck, I think one of the things we contemplated as we addressed that we'd need to do rapid testing on site, in essence, to hold people until you had a negative test. And right now, under the state testing contract that option one is using, it is not immediate rapid testing on site. So it's not the 15-minute wait. It's get swabbed and wait 24 hours for results. So we would anticipate that does not work for a casual visitor. There are a variety of people who would have business here, you know, let's say an activist or someone engaged who wanted to testify at a bill. If they knew to plan ahead 24 hours in advance, they could participate, but otherwise it didn't work. So option one certainly is not the tightest mitigation we could take to prevent the transmission of COVID Delta variant, but I feel like it is a step in the right direction and contemplates the movement of people who are regularly coming in and out of the building.
Well, Madam Chair, I don't like cutting out the public. It just doesn't seem like it seems like for a high price, when you have general public coming in and out at will, you're spending a high price to really not really mitigate a whole lot. That's just my point, but I'll support the proposal.
Thank you. Other members of the committee?
Madam Chair.
Senator Machicki.
Yeah, I mean, as I always say, I'd rather this said is our advised to instead of must. I could not have supported option two. I can support option one. It largely leaves it up to the individual, although the word must is there. The people that are going to test, and the ones that aren't, and it eliminates this huge amount of effort it takes to try to force compliance on something that people either believe in or they don't. So I can support option one, and it's up to the individual what they choose to do to either be in compliance or not. So I appreciate option the two options. I also appreciate the fact that you added other face covering options that I think will give some flexibility to some that are uncomfortable with certain kinds of face masks.
Anyone else seeking the floor? Senator Stevens.
I think we need to recognize the really remarkably good job that we've done under your leadership, under Jessica's support, you know, we've done a great job in protecting legislators as well as all of our staff, and we need to really recognize that. No, I'm glad to hear that some folks think things are getting better. I hope they're right, but I don't honestly know that that's true. We've had 600,000 deaths in this country, 600,000, and it's likely to approach a million shortly. And we have to recognize that things are not going well, have not gone well. Alaska is the very worst in the entire nation. And as I said, we've done a great job protecting the staff. I think this, what we're doing here is taking care of what might happen in the next 3 months, and we can adjust this mitigation policy as we see in the future. I appreciate Representative Tuck's comments about the outsiders coming into the building. We need to protect our staff and ourselves from folks bringing COVID in that way. But anyway, I do support this motion. Thank you.
Anyone else? All right. I believe we're ready to vote. Ms. Kiesel, if you can call the roll.
Representative Klayman.
Yes.
Representative Etchman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stoops.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
No.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Schauer.
No.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
No.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
10 yeas, 3 nays.
And by a vote of 10 yeas and 3 nays, we have adopted new COVID-19 mitigation policy option 1 in your packets. We have one other committee business item to address. It is a late travel reimbursement request from Representative Delena Johnson for travel that took place in March of 2021. Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion?
Yes. I move that the Legislative Council approve Representative Johnson's late travel reimbursement request for which took place from March 26th to March 28th, 2021.
I'm going to object just briefly for the purposes of discussion. Representative Johnson is here. If anyone had questions, we also have Ms. Geary could address our late travel policy if there were questions about that, or if there are no questions. Representative Stoots. I just have a brief comment. I'm happy to see this, and I'm certainly happy to support it. Representative Johnson has had a tough year with family deaths, and I could see how this very easily could have slipped by. So I just want to say I'm in full support of a late reimbursement to Ms. Johnson.
Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Chair Hannon. I did have a discussion with Representative Johnson earlier in the day yesterday, and the process of which this request came in late really had to do with some investigation regarding funds that were used to pay for the ticket were from a wallet fund, and the proving that those were not state funds that had been deposited into that. And there was some communication with different staff that had given her some different answers about the timing in turning that in, and had understood that it didn't have to come before the Legislative Council. So I just want to make sure that the all things that are coming in later following the same process. And and that being said, I would also say that I believe that this was started to be addressed a couple of agendas ago, but has finally made it to our meeting. I 100% would approve of this request, but just wanted to have on the record that there was a lot of hurdles that got in the way that were not Representative Johnson's fault.
Absolutely, and it would be my recommendation that we have a yes vote on this, and that if any members don't know, that 61 days is a magic where accounting asks for Legislative Council to approve it, but absolutely, it is my recommendation that we approve this back travel costs. All right. So I'm going to remove my objection. We've had the discussion. I see no one seeking the floor. Ms. Kiesel, can you call the roll, please?
Representative Clayman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Stoops.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop. Senator Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Schauer.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Okay.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays.
With 12 yeas, 0 nays, the motion to approve this reimbursement has been approved.
Madam Chairman.
Senator Stedman.
I'd just like to make a comment. I think the legislature's been pretty timely, and we have very few of these. So it's, you know, appreciated that, you know, and expected on occasion that there'll be a lapse or something slipped through the cracks. So I think this is the first one we've had in a while. So it's good that we keep the ship tight. I appreciate it.
All right. I am looking to see if anyone has anything else. And I do not see anyone seeking the floor. So we have nothing further on our agenda. And that will mean we are adjourned at 12:11.